to Science Questions. I am Sherry Quinn. On today's program, we decided to shake things up a bit, experiment with a new style, and we hope you will enjoy the change of pace. A more musical one, consisting of three stories from independent producers Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister, creators of The Song Plus Story. All three of the stories are told in words and song, beginning with a modern-day gold rush happening in Faulkner County, Arkansas. More than 3,000 wells have been drilled in the area using the controversial technique, hydrofracturing. In the town next door, Greenbrier, residents had to deal with a swarm of earthquakes, hundreds of small ones, starting last fall. The damage has been minimal, but the earthquakes have shaken up people's state of mind. Musician Bonnie Prince Billy, also known as Will Odom, helps tell the story, The Natural State.
The original ones that we heard here were like thunderclaps, boom, but there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
Call 911, where's your emergency?
Hey, my house just shook really bad.
Yes, it probably was an earthquake.
You can hear it coming towards you kind of like you would a train. You feel it under your feet.
It shook our whole house about off the foundation, ma'am.
Good evening. Since September, there have been 843 earthquakes in the Greenbrier Guy Swarm. This fault was previously unknown until earthquakes began.
My name is Scott Osbrooks. I'm a geohazard supervisor with the Arkansas Geological Survey. That's one thing that's very disconcerting is to have the ground move under your feet. When it starts moving, you start getting concerned.
Waves under our feet begin and end talk between a hidden course, oh sweet.
3:49 a.m., probably about 3.5.
1:20 p.m., there was a boom.
4:52 a.m., about 2.0.
What we consider the date the swarm started was around the 23rd of September of 2010.
17 a.m., about 7 a.m.
boom. And in some cases, we'd have hundreds in a 12-hour period.
With a large boom.
It's really stressful.
And makes me tremble and I return the favor. I am an earth, and you may know my walk will never waver.
Dozens of earthquakes in central Arkansas have gained national attention, and tonight they can still be felt. But why are they happening?
My name's Steve Horton. I'm a seismologist and a research scientist at the Center for Earthquake Research and Information at the University of Memphis. Back in 1982, there was a swarm of earthquakes very close to where these earthquakes are happening in the town of Enola.
I'm Marie Wilson. There have been tiny shakes over in the Enola area for years and years and years, and I think that it's just getting bigger and bigger underground.
That could just be a natural cycle in the seismic activity rate in the area. If the injection wells weren't there, it would not have surprised me to have this seismic activity. But the injection wells are there.
Makes me tremble and I return the favor.
We're on Highway 25. We're just east of Guy. And we're directly across from the SRE injection well.
I am man earth, and you may know my walk will never waver.
What we do see are these clusters of earthquakes, like here, 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 and here. What is proximal to these clusters of earthquakes is injection well, injection well, injection well.
98% of those earthquakes that have happened since 2009 have been within 5 kilometers of three specific injection wells.
These injection wells went online just a couple of months prior to all this earthquakes happening.
In those injection wells, they place water that's used in the fracking process.
This water is basically saline water, and it does have chemicals.
To frack a well, it takes 1,200 tractor-trailer loads of water. Okay, well, that water comes back, and they have to do something with it. You know, it's all going in a hole in the ground, not very big. I'm going to say it's probably 12, 14 inch diameter.
And then the well goes down over a mile. Of course, they've done over 100 million gallons from July to February. That's equivalent to a 30 acre lake, 10 feet deep. The weight of that water is probably in excess of a billion pounds.
Together as a community.
Then they had a meeting at the Guy School.
My name is Sheila Maxwell, and I'm the director of the Faulkner County Office of Emergency Management. Their big question was, well, is all this drilling causing this?
If the earthquakes continue to get stronger and stronger and stronger, it's going to be people's homes ruined and possibly people's lives.
My name is Dave Martini. I'm the chief of police, Guy Police Department. I don't know if they're man-made or I don't know if they're act of God. But I'd like to know.
Since the gas company has come here, that's when I started hearing the booms, feeling the ground shake.
My name's Dirk DeTurk. I live on Mill Creek Drive in Greenbrier.
So how are they not related?
I'm Shelby Wilcox, and I'm with the Roadrunners Extension Homemakers Club. I would hope that the gas and oil industry would not be blamed because it has been a tremendous economic boom to this area.
I'm Mark Ledbetter. I'm the liaison for Faulkner County to the gas industry. There's a lot of people up here that have had this land for a lot of years that didn't have anything, you know, and now these people finally are getting something out of their land.
We have received leases from the gas company on our land.
We got a swimming pool.
We saw a couple tractors, you know, show up in a hay baler.
These folks here were living in a mobile home. They got a gas well right across from them. They built them a new house.
My son has found employment.
My name is Jimmy Hart, and I am the Conway County Judge. You know, I'm a red-blooded American. That's the great thing about this whole thing. We're all capitalists. You know, you can go talk to the local John Deere dealer, or you can go talk to a local car dealer, and this money rolls over six or seven times.
My name is Zondra Sharp, and I'm the owner of Gimme Some Sugar Bake Shop and Cakery in Greenbrier, Spring Hill, Arkansas. If I say something negative towards the gas companies, well, then they might say, oh, well, she's against us. I'm not going to do business with her.
Some cower. Intimidated and cowering, they call this action love.
Good morning, YouTube. It's 8:13 a.m. February 25th, 2011, and I have another earthquake update for you for Arkansas. We have a 3.1 and 3.6 magnitude earthquakes now.
They were getting spooky.
It's just every day. We're getting bombarded over here.
I thought, good grief, how bad is this going to get?
If it was to rupture all at one time, you could generate up to a magnitude 6 earthquake. If you think about the Christchurch earthquake in New Zealand, it was only a 6.3.
We were nervous because practically our life savings is in a new home that we just finished in December.
You don't know if the next one's the one the house is coming down. It's that scary.
They're getting bigger. The big one's coming soon.
And, of course, the big one, there was like a loud sonic boom.
Sounded kind of like a bowling ball coming.
Hey, guys, the magnitude 4.7 earthquake hit just after 11 o'clock last night and was felt for hundreds of miles.
The 4.7 scared the goodness out of me. I was at my house and I could actually see my floor making waves.
Usually they're a snap of the finger, boom, shake, done. This one was a boom, shake, 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 shake.
It just shook, 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 shook.
And I was going, oh, holy crap, I need to put seatbelts on my bed and my recliner. I'm going to be bouncing out of here.
That's the largest earthquake we've had in Arkansas in 35 years.
And it was shortly after that they shut the injection wells down.
Two companies have stopped using injection wells now near the site of the recent swarm of earthquakes after an emergency meeting of the Arkansas Oil and Gas Commission.
When they decided to stop the injection wells, it was a relief.
And the companies, they basically said that they agreed to temporarily shut down because they wanted to have enough time to get the evidence to support that there is no connection between those injections and the earthquakes.
Or maybe there is a connection. We'll find out. All right, Dustin, thank you.
You. Our earth, you have stuck it to us and terrorized from inside and above.
since they stopped putting water down in the hole down there, all the shaking stopped out here.
We've seen about a 50% reduction in the number of vents. Could be simply part of the natural ebb and flow, or it could be in relation to the fact that they actually shut the wells down.
I'm a country girl, and this is how I look at things, but you just dig you a little trench, and you blast water at high pressures. What's it do? It makes it bigger. It erodes it, you know. And, of course, I look at a fault that way.
Well, I don't. I stamp and tremble like your animals with heels. And before... my man may wave, even Mother Nature kneels.
The question for the Oil and Gas Commission is going to be, is it wise or is it prudent to inject millions of gallons of water in the vicinity of an active fault? That's the question that's going to have to be answered by someone other than me.
Even Mother Nature needs.
The Natural State was performed by Bonnie Prince Billy. Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister use story and original song to help tell radio stories. Since the 1930s, as many as 500,000 tourists a year have gathered outside of Linesville, Pennsylvania, to feed carp and ducks scraps of bread at the Linesville Spillway. There are so many carp, the mallard ducks walk on their backs to compete for food. But visitors recently learned of some big changes to the spillway, and they have to fight to throw bread. This story was produced in collaboration with musician Tim Fite.
There's thousands of fish and they're very hungry.
The Linesville Spillway is the second largest tourist attraction in the state of Pennsylvania next to the Liberty Bell.
Look at that guy. He's huge.
I think it ranks second to Gettysburg.
You can see in front of us 30 or 40 people, each of whom have a couple loaves of bread in their hands.
How much is this bread?
These are a dollar a bag.
It's a loaf of sliced bread. I think it's like Wonder Bread or something. And it just works great to throw kind of like a frisbee.
Grandma, Grandma, where's this river at? You know the one where ducks be walking on a fish's back. Grandpa said, I gotta have a piece of bread to break in little bits and throw it over the edge.
There you go, fishies.
And they just try and suck it all in.
I like to watch them fight.
And they're fighting over it, and then the ducks just walk on top of the fish because they're trying to get to the piece of bread, grab it, and keep right on moving.
Whoa, Daddy! Whoa.
Hey, did you see it? Look at them go. Oh. Another slice, I think they'd like to eat some more. Grandpa said, I gotta have a piece of bread to break in little bits and throw it over the edge. Over the edge. In the town where ducks walk on fishing.
I'm Bill Walker, and I've been coming down here since I could walk, probably.
Oh, look at that one with his mouth wide open.
It's not the most attractive thing in the world. Maybe it would be better if we had some, you know, glorious mountain in our backyard or something, but that's not what we have. We have where the ducks walk on the fish, and that's what makes people want to come here. And otherwise, they wouldn't probably want to come here.
I opened my door to get the newspapers for the day, and that was the headline on the Meadville Tribune was No More Bread to the Fish.
I found out about it in the daily newspaper.
My name is Cindy Whiteman. I own the Laughing Duck Bookstore and Coffee House in Linesville, Pennsylvania.
My name is David Schafe. I have lived in the Linesville area almost all of my life.
The Meadville Tribune, Linesville, Pennsylvania. A tradition that is almost 70 years old at Pymatuning Spillway will come to an end on January 1st.
Visitors to the spillway will no longer be allowed to throw bread or bread products to the thousands of carp below.
Pete Houghton, manager of the Pymatuning State Park, said visitors have been tossing a little bit of everything to the fish, including cupcakes, bagels.
My name is Pete Houghton. I'm the park manager at Pymatuning State Park.
Some of which are not good for fish.
We've been feeding up there for 50 years, and or 60, I don't know. But back then, we had 200,000 people come to the facility with a bag or two bags of bread and threw single-sliced bread out there. You go up today, and what I don't like, people bring big garbage bags full of stuff that we don't want in the water.
Dad, can I dump this out?
I know people that cut up chicken and threw in watermelon, and that's not right.
We've seen birthday cakes tossed in the water.
Twinkies and cracker boxes.
Corn chips are fairly popular.
Get that bagel over there!
We've got baked gold assorted donuts from Stroman's and Edmund's plain donuts.
Their stomachs must be aching.
Carp are on a strict diet beginning January 1st of next year. State Park System has decreed that only state-approved pellets of fish chow sold at the spillway will be okay for the carp. In the town where ducks walk on fishing.
The reaction of the people was one of shock.
Can you believe this?
Wonderment.
You want to take away the bread, and then you take away the fun. That's like mending up the crack in the Liberty Bell or something.
Can I help you?
I have a loaf of bread.
I'm sorry, son, but I have to say.
You've been doing this since 1934.
The last loaf will be thrown today.
Fish don't look sick to me.
And to take away the draw to the area would just obliterate our businesses.
But with no bread in the water, could we be dead in the water? With no bread in the water, could we be dead in the water?
Very soon there were petitions signed by thousands of people.
And ultimately, they held a public meeting.
Over 350 people piled into the Linesville High School auditorium for a public hearing to tell officials from the Bureau of State Parks they shouldn't have made this decision without informing residents or lawmakers.
Jim Lasko.
Economically, you're going to kill our area. Shame on you.
Kathleen Caprice.
Are you going to have bread police out there? You're going to slap handcuffs on three-year-olds? Bull crap.
Wanda Romali.
There are hundreds of us in this part of Pennsylvania that are going to lose our ability to earn a living with the decision that you've made. Who would ever think that one of the ugliest things in Linesville is our crown jewel? Please don't mess with it.
Dead in the water with no bread in the water, could we be?
Hundreds of locals who came out to Linesville to support a longtime family tradition have gotten their way, at least for now. The department is taking the next year to reevaluate their decision and work more closely with the public to reach an acceptable solution.
This is a victory for the people who turned out at that meeting.
I wouldn't call it a victory yet. The case got continued to next year, you know, and hopefully the lesson is that they can be more open and communicate more with the people around here about things that they're going to do in this state park that are going to have some kind of impact on the people of this town.
Why must we lose our head? Over a slice of bread. Battle, in the town where ducks walk on fishing.
They haven't changed the rules down here then, I guess, huh?
They kicked back for another year, so we got another year of bread.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here, get some more bread.
That story was called Loaves and Fishes. Our final piece is a haunting story about a tower in Minnesota on the Canadian border. It was built as a navigation aid, but it has become a death trap to migrating songbirds. The producers collaborated with musician Mountain Man.
So you're going on this long, straight highway, and it's nothing but bog, on either side of you, and you can see this tower up ahead, and it's just like you're just trying to get to this tower because you know home is just after that tower.
My name is Tom Hansen. I ran the Coast Guard Station, Lowrance Station here in Bedette, Minnesota.
My name is Penny Mio Hurst, editor at the Bedette Region, which is a weekly newspaper.
What a Loran Tower is, Loran is actually an acronym for long-range navigation. It was the predecessor to GPS.
The tower is kind of the beacon.
At the times it was put there, it was for a, if you want to call it a life-saving purpose. I mean, getting the captains across the Great Lakes in a safe manner.
The wires go from the top of the tower and out a long distance.
I think it's about 70 acres.
It's painted red and white in alternating sections, although you can't always see that because it may be obstructed by clouds at times.
We don't have any skyscrapers, and it's taller than any radio or TV tower, so it's the biggest thing we've got.
People didn't really see it in terms of being a threat to the migrants.
My name is Katie Hawes. I'm a regional non-game wildlife specialist for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources in northwest Minnesota. In 2009, there was an incident where a large number of birds were observed dead in the vicinity of a Loran Tower.
This is Jeff Dietrich, and I'm the Area Wildlife Manager for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. There were birds scattered all around, a combination of live and dead, and, you know, just parts of birds, too, from what the predators had been working on.
There were 35 different bird species found at the base of the Loran Tower.
The list starts with hovenbird 26, Tennessee warblers 29, common yellowthroat 23.
The bird species with the greatest number found dead was Swainson's thrush.
110.
I'm Bill Teft, and I'm primarily a naturalist. The Swainson's thrush is a large songbird.
They have flute-like sounds. My name is Jenny Mormon. I am currently a sixth grade teacher at Lake of the Woods School. And you hear them in the deep woods.
They essentially fill the space with their song. Their biggest movement and migration occurs to Central America and South American areas.
They nest all across Canada and up into Alaska, too.
I'm Ted Dick, and I work for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. I've actually stood outside and looked up a lot of times on those quiet evenings. You can hear chirping birds, little call notes when they're going by communicating, and there's obviously just masses of birds going by.
5 palm warbler.
Connecticut warbler 2.
4 Lincoln's sparrow.
You know, they had hit 3. This Loran Tower.
It sort of looks like a spider web or something when you look up from here.
Probably hit the tower and the guy wires.
I thought, wow, if you were standing there, it must just be raining birds.
That would be pretty scary. Kind of Hitchcock-like or something.
Maybe one drops in occasionally, or maybe you don't even notice a whole lot of it. You know, they're pretty quiet, they hit hard, and then they just flutter down.
My first thought was, what was weird about that night?
We have a lot of ground fog.
When it is foggy, oh boy, you better be careful.
So even if you miss the tower, you'd be kind of flying a gauntlet of wires.
Some birds may actually be attracted to those lights.
The lighting may disorient them.
It is ironic that a tower that would be used to help people find their way on the Great Lakes would also become a death trap to birds finding their way home.
You always think about their migration and, you know, their journey across the country and then just suddenly stop like that when you run into that sort of thing. And I remember I thought, if they didn't die at this tower, they're going to died another one along the way, but there's a lot of massive dangerous things when you're just a little bird flying by in the dark.
You know, the number of towers that are being built has probably just gone up exponentially with this explosion in cell phone use. It seems to be something that society is, they want these kinds of services, you know, and they're willing to pay what it takes to get them, you know, and some of it's dollars out of your pocket and some of it is dead birds.
And one rose-breasted grosbeak.
A total of 375.
That's a really horrific number.
There aren't many secrets in this town, and since I found out about the birds that were lost at the tower, I've kind of asked around, and nobody knows about it. And for that to not get around our community is pretty amazing.
Well, you don't just go up to people and say, guess what? 700 birds were killed last night at the tower. That isn't pleasant. And I think people are Minnesota nice. You know, we don't like to be seen in a way where people would believe that we would let something like that happen without doing something about it.
My husband and I were driving back from the Twin Cities, and it was during a snowstorm. It was dark, and we were within a mile of the tower before we could see it. And that night, I thought of those birds, because, you know, on a night like tonight, it would be pretty dangerous to be flying by that tower. It wasn't safe for us. Maybe they were flying when it wasn't safe for them.
The Tower was produced by Elizabeth Meister and Dan Collison. The song Vision was written and produced by the group Mountain Men. Thanks for listening. Science Questions is produced by Sherry Quinn and Susie Montgomery.
Support for Science Questions is provided by Apogee Instruments of Cache Valley, creating innovations, innovative sensors for measuring climate change, sustainable food production, and renewable energy. More information is at apogeeinstruments.com. Support for Science Questions also comes from Utah State's College of Science, advancing the educational experience for future students. Scientists and advanced research lab field at outer space. When students, faculty learn together, discovery follows. Information at usu.edu/science.